Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, good morning to you. With a 3-1 baseball team and a tush push that may be on the way out the door, we welcome someone who just walked in the door. We know him. We love him. I think we love him. Of course we do. Mr. Ruben Amaro Jr. How are you, Rube?
I'm great. I'm great.
Man, Rube.
The fightings are rolling.
You know what they're doing? The fightings are fighting. Yeah. They're showing a comeback propensity.
No doubt.
That's one of the early themes of this season. They've got that resiliency gene.
They've grinded it out. They've been doing that for a lot of years, though. Yeah. I mean, you got to give them some love for that. I mean, in 2022, they weren't even supposed to be in the playoffs, and they grinded themselves to almost winning the World Series. I mean, they got beat by a better team at the time.
Also helps that a guy like Sanchez, I mean, he's kind of got lost in the shuffle here today, but he only gave up one run. It's not like they had to come back from a 4-0 hole. They were only in a 1-0 hole.
Their starting pitching has been great. It's been really good.
Could you see Sanchi elevate? Could you see a difference between last year's version and this year's version that's been highly touted? But to my eye, you know, the layman eye, he looks similar. How much better did he look to you with the expert eye?
Well, I mean, the pitches that he was missing on were very close. I mean, the umpire could have given him a ton more pitches, I think, during the course of the game, and it would have probably changed how deep he would have gone into the game. But that said, I mean,
does he not get those calls still?
He will get them because he's starting to build a reputation of being that good. And I made a prediction early in the season, man. I think he's going to be top two or three in Cy Young Award.
You're really that high?
I think he's that good.
Wow.
He's got a double, triple plus changeup, and his slider's getting better and better, and his fastball's up to 95 to 97.
I mean, Ruben, if he really develops into that, that would be one of the great developmental stories in the history of the franchise.
It already is. I mean, it already is, really. I mean, when you think about where he was, where he came from, I mean, this is a guy who threw 98 miles an hour and really had no idea where he was throwing it.
Right.
And then
we saw.
and he was And I remember watching him. I think he started a Boston game. I'm thinking, why is he starting this game? And that's all he really had at the time. And to watch him become who he is right now, there's so many things that are that got him there. First of all, first and foremost, it's him. He deserves a lot of credit for the work that he put in, because he learned, he watched, he worked on his body, he worked on his ability to repeat his delivery. When tall guys, really tall, especially left-handers, it takes some time for those guys to develop, because they're to put their bodies in sync to be able to repeat their deliveries consistently. They have so many more levers. There's so much more leverage to their to their delivery that they have to manage it differently. Guys like Randy Johnson couldn't hit the broadside of a barn when I played against him in USC.
What do you mean there's so many more levers to a lefty's delivery?
He's longer limbed.
It's the same number of levers, though.
No, but I'm talking about the length of the levers.
Oh.
He has to get his body in a position to be able to deliver, like, shorter guys, smaller guys. That's why, like, it seems like, you know, you have smaller guys playing in the infield, because they're, you know, they can throw the ball in a way that is so consistent. They can throw to first base really consistently because they're short.
Well, it's more compact.
It's really compact.
Yeah, exactly.
And you watch batting practice pitchers, same thing. They just fire. And it's when you have to do what these guys who are really tall and long-limbed have to do to get themselves in a position to pitch well, it takes some work.
Well,
and
look,
it takes time. And this guy's getting better and better and better, and he might be better in two more years.
Yeah, that's awesome. He's a tremendous credit to the Phils and a big part of how they won yesterday. 215-592-9494. Ruben in studio. Of course, we love having Ruben in studio.
Ruben Amaro Jr. in studio is brought to you by CJ's Tire and Auto. 18 convenient locations. We keep things moving. CJTire.com.
All right, so your impressions of the Phils after four games, and obviously specifically the home opener yesterday. What do you make of it? 215-592-9494. Plus the tush push. Do you think the Eagles are being unfairly targeted by the NFL? Let's get to Tim right, really by jealous teams. Tim, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing all right, Tim.
That's good. Yeah, so as far as the tush push, Joe, I know that you say that it's not, you want to see it banned because it's not an interesting play. Is that correct?
Well, I didn't use the word interesting. I would just say that it's so non-traditional that to me, it in many ways, doesn't look like football. And so I'll put it this way. It's funny you asked that, Tim. I wrote it down earlier this morning, my four reasons to ban it. So let me read them right now, and then I'll get your reaction. Here are my four reasons I think it should be banned. One, it doesn't look like a football play. It looks like rugby. I do believe that. Two, it actually wasn't allowed until relatively recently and wasn't used until very recently, meaning just a couple years ago. So there were decades of pro football where it was illegal to push the quarterback. Three, I do think here's an unfair element, I think, for defenses. Forward progress does get stopped. Then the push happens, and it's like the defense has to stop forward progress twice. I don't think that's fair to defenses. And my fourth reason is, and it's kind of coupled with the third reason, I think it's unfair that the quarterback can kind of crowd surf over the 2,000 pounds of bodies in there and like literally not be down, because there's almost no way for a knee or an elbow to touch the ground because Landon Dickerson and Jordan Mulata are lying beneath them, and you just kind of crowd surf over while you're being pushed. Those are my four reasons.
I got you. See, I think with me, how I feel about this whole thing is that I think the only people that are really suffering are special teams, because your punter is getting less reps as well as your kick return and punt return.
That's true.
So that's why I would prefer the tush push and do it on fourth down than send a punter out, because you're basically just giving the ball back. This way you have a real opportunity to try to keep the ball and the momentum going.
Well, look, it's more interesting than punting. I mean, there's no doubt. You know, I mean, no one's going to say that the punt is a more exciting play than the tush push. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But let me ask you, Tim, does it resemble, in your opinion, does it more resemble rugby or football?
The tush push?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't watch rugby enough.
None of us do.
But
Neither do you, Joe. No, none of us do. But we've all seen
a
clip or two. Looks like rugby.
A clip or two, and you've decided it's a rugby play.
Yeah, when Mulata got drafted, I saw a clip.
Mulata doesn't think it's a rugby play.
Well, he's hardcore. I'm just saying, Tim, I don't like
that. That was not a very good argument for me right there.
All right, Tim, give me an answer, buddy. Who or what is foolish?
Joe Shane for releasing Saquon Barkley.
Oh, big. Yeah, he didn't technically release him, but I get your point. Joe Shane is a good answer right there. Ruben, do you think the tush-push thing is unfair?
No, I do not.
Okay, talk to me.
They have found a play that works for them.
No. Okay, so you know, you misinterpreted or I misinterpreted. I'm saying the teams are trying to zap the tush-push.
I think it's ridiculous that they're trying.
That's what I meant.
It's ridiculous that teams are trying to take it out. I think it's, I mean, figure out a way to defend it. I mean, that's where I'm at. Or at least, implement it in your own team. Figure out a way to implement it. I mean, it's not that tough.
They don't have the quarterbacks to do it.
Things will continue to, it's not going to get done this year, but when every year, when they get a few more owners to vote their way, what if it is banned eventually? And it might be faster than we think. And I do think that our team, our coaches will come up with something else that's comparable, but it's not
comparable.
It won't be quite as consistent.
It won't.
I mean, there will be more room for error in another play because you'll have to hand the ball off or do something more than what this is. This is just as simple as it gets. And as you said, that factor of you might just be crowd surfing your way for, 8 yards. It just so happens that the mechanism of like guys being close to the ground, it's they're becoming a bridge to not allowed
John,
tackling.
I would guess the Eagles are closer to averaging 2 yards on the tush push than 1 yard.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And maybe it's over 2 yards.
We've seen some where Jalen is actually, he really is crowd surfing.
I know he is.
For 8 yards downfield.
Well,
like,
I don't
think
we've seen
eight.
But
on top of people.
We've seen 4 to 5. I mean, look, you've heard my reasons. I just laid them out. What is your reaction to that? I know most people are pro keeping the tush push, but you just heard my rationale for why I think it should go. What's your response? 215-592.
We're removing the rugby reason because you've only seen a clip or two.
94-94. Also up ahead, some of what Howie Roseman said yesterday. He commented on a lot of topics. We'll get to that. Also a major anniversary in Philadelphia sports. We'll get to that reality. Rob Thompson on the Torpedo Bats. We'll get Ruben weighing in on that. And obviously the Phils from yesterday, the highlights of the game. It was a very exciting comeback there in the seventh inning. Phone calls and all this and more. Your phone calls. 215-592-9494. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP. All right, let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook. Of course, with baseball season, it's a long haul. And I mean that in a good way. It's 6 months of baseball. And one thing about baseball is we love the long ball. So for the long haul, all season long, you can get in on the long ball with FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. They're giving you even more reasons to love home runs this baseball season. Every Tuesday during the MLB season. Why? Because on Tuesday, it's Dinger Tuesdays. And FanDuel customers get a home run profit boost on Dinger Tuesdays. That means you get to bet on the moonshots and take your winnings to new heights with FanDuel.com/hammer. That's FanDuel.com/hammer to go yard all season long. FanDuel.com/hammer. Look, make every moment more this baseball season with FanDuel Sportsbook. Find the bet or bets that works for you, including the opportunity to lock in on a player and to win big. Now, no local squad playing tonight in baseball. They'll be back at it tomorrow, but all sorts of games around MLB. Find the bet or bets that works for you. Lock them in at FanDuel.com/hammer.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Swing and a drive, right center field. That's going to be down for a base hit. It'll tie the game. Turner flying into third base. Ball picked up on the track. The relay home will be cut off. Turner scores standing up. It's a double for Edmundo Sosa, and the Phillies lead it 2-1.
Well, it's a young season, obviously, only four games, but that clearly was one of the most exciting moments so far. I mean, it was a 1-0 game there for a good stretch, and or first stretch, I guess you can say, in the seventh inning. And the crowd was, you know, kind of, we were all on our heels. I mean, the Phillies hadn't done anything yet. And then Sosa, you know, because that followed a sequence that began with a stop double, a Trey Turner pinch hit walk, and then the Sosa hit. And then obviously, as Rhea played in the update, the Kyle Schwarber home run that, you know, I don't want to say put a nail in the coffin of the other squad, but certainly, you know, you got the impression the Phillies were about to win.
The roar of the crowd was so loud, I heard it in my backyard.
For which one? Sosa or Schwarber? Yeah. No, that was great.
It was insane. I went, somebody just hit a home run because I'm a little behind because I was on the streaming. And it was, I couldn't believe how loud it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was a shot. There's no question. All right, so early impressions of the Phils, 215-592-9494. And obviously, also, you can weigh in on the tush push. Today's the day we're going to find out. Also, a major anniversary in Philadelphia sports. We'll get to that in a moment. You can weigh in on all this. You can also watch us. Ruben, we are now on YouTube. Like, you're a YouTube sensation from what I hear.
I feel like I had to put my makeup on because my face gets so greasy.
Don't tell me you actually put makeup on.
Well, I had to take some of the, you know, to the padding.
You did a little bit. Didn't
wow, you're a pro.
I'm not a pro.
Wow.
My face gets so greasy that it looks, it's embarrassing.
All right, Seltzer, Twitter poll question of the day. Ruben Amaro is a pro or vain for putting on makeup?
I would say both.
You be the judge. Hey, let us know in Time's Yours how we look. I mean, I don't know. We got the regular outfits on today. We don't have that uniform. Ruben, I was rocking the uniform yesterday at the stadium. You know, it's...
I did not see it.
What I do! How you do!
Someone told me about you had a horrible hat on.
Yeah, that's what everyone keeps
like
saying.
Like a terrible... Mm-hmm. Is it the hat
atrocious.
You're wearing right now?
Yeah, it's a different
same
one.
Same concept.
Same concept.
He's got the real, authentic uniform in every way, down to the
stirrups.
Does he
have snaps on the back?
He's wearing cleats and batting gloves, and he's got Velcro on the back of the hat.
No, he does not.
Yes.
Well, you need to chat. Right. Why don't you consult with me? I mean, it's all about
because
the gig line.
He
you got to get it tightened
up. He doesn't care about this hat
How are his
thing.
Socks? Because
he expects
they were...
someone to
socks
give him
good. Socks are good.
You tightened up
hat.
The socks program?
Socks
well,
were good.
After you did his socks for him, I want to say that might have spoiled Joe to some level.
Well, to where now he about
thinks
about how
you're...
To wear
or, he thinks you or someone else is going to outfit him
no,
properly.
No, I learned on the socks. I got better on that. But I do want to say...
something about the lid, please.
Well, I know. I want to thank everyone I interacted with at the ballpark. People were so cool yesterday. It was gratifying to meet so many listeners to our show on the station. And, you know, it was just really... I mean, just a lot of really, really, really good people. So thank you for that. Also, you can watch our show on YouTube live. You can also go back later in the day and watch it. It's all there on YouTube. Here's all you got to do, by the way. Subscribe to the 94WIP, Sports Radio 94WIP on YouTube. Subscribe to that and be sure to turn on notifications. Turn on the notifications. Never miss a show. You can see our show live or later in the day on YouTube. All right, good morning to you. 215-592-9494. Speaking of good mornings, it is a great morning for Villanova sports fans because today is a major anniversary in Philadelphia sports. And Ruben, you were a 20-year-old back on April 1st, 1985, when Villanova, in one of the most shocking games in American sports history.
Ever. Yeah.
I mean, Rhea, there's almost no way to tell people
to this day
that are young what a big deal it was when Villanova beat Georgetown April 1st, 85.
It was insane.
I watched that game.
It was amazing.
By myself.
It was amazing.
And my next door neighbor asked how many people I had over the house. That's how loud I was screaming. I mean, I lived in a row house, so the walls were really thin. Yeah. But I mean, I was a kid, and it was just one of the greatest moments ever.
For those that don't know, you know, Georgetown was the defending champ. You know, I mean, they were an all-time team. They really are, in my opinion, one of the great teams ever that did not win a championship in 85.
Three straight Final Fours, or three out of four, or something like that,
right?
Three out of
four. They had Patrick Ewing, the best player in the nation.
But he was so much better than everyone else.
He was so much better.
Best player in the nation, but
he was.
Yeah.
He was. And that team was salacious.
Extreme.
So let's go back to April 1st, 1985, and hear how it ended. Villanova holding a two-point lead, holding the ball. Looking to inbounds it. Billy Packer and Brent Musburger on the call. Listen to the final seconds.
I think they've got to throw the ball up at least towards the half-court area. They cannot afford to throw that ball in under their own basket. Because with 2 seconds to go, Georgetown can get a piece of it and put it back up. Let's see if Raleigh Massimino tries to get the ball up court. And in a jump ball situation, the ball would go to Villanova.
Unbelievable. One of the most shocking upsets of all time. And the two teams know each other so well. One of the most perfectly played games ever. And by the way, Georgetown played great. Georgetown played great. But Villanova shot better, controlled the ball, obviously, with Gary McLean, controlled the clock. An incredible thing. And with Raleigh, one of the great coach games of all time. Let's listen to Raleigh right after the game. Raleigh talking to Billy and Brent.
Raleigh, nobody thought they could do it.
No, no one thought we could do it, but I did. And so did they. They played a great basketball game. I'm not even excited. I think it's real.
Hey, Raleigh, it's April Fool's. This really didn't happen.
Did Georgetown win? April Fool's.
It ain't April Fool's. We won.
How about it? April 1st, 1985, Lexington, Kentucky. So if you want to share a memory of that game, obviously, Nova fans, I mean, it gets no better and no bigger. All due respect to Jay and his two titles, there was nothing ever, ever, ever in the history of Villanova that was a bigger deal than April 1st, 1985. And on this 40th anniversary, we certainly want to pay tribute to the Wildcat squad. And by the way, Harold, you know, Jensen's been part of our show before. Free throw contest. Who won, James, between Harold Jensen and me in the free throw contest?
Stop. Oh, God.
Would you stop it? Knock it off.
And what did I say after I won? I went over to the microphones and I said, ice water in my veins! Because that's, you know, what was said during the game.
You're such a nice guy, too.
And you call me Bane.
I know. All right, let's go to the phones. But no, all love to that squad. That was amazing. 215-592-9494. Coming up shortly here, we'll get to some of what Howie said yesterday about some of the players on and off of his team. To the phones, tush push, a major topic. Zach in Medford. Zach, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
What's up, Zach?
So I have a little inside scoop for you guys.
Ooh, inside scoop.
New sponsor. I don't know if you heard this. They're actually sponsored by Pampers because there's a bunch of babies in the NFL, apparently.
That's pretty good, Zach. Not bad.
I don't understand. It's a bunch of crying babies that are so upset that a team in the NFL has a play that just works super well. And all the reasons that they come up with are just trying to find excuses to get rid of it.
Well, like, I agree with you on that part. I'll tell you, Zach, I would have more respect for the opposition to the tush push if they just called it like it is. Meaning, we don't think it's a football play, and we don't like the way it looks. Like, because that's really what it's about. And we're jealous.
100%.
And we're jealous of the Eagles for being good at it. Like, if they just said that. You know what I mean? Like, John, you know when you're in a situation with someone, you just want someone to be honest with you, even if you don't like the message, you want honesty. The opposition's not being honest.
Well, this feels like this is as crooked as it gets. This is the owners' meeting where these some teams around the NFL feel like they can take advantage of the situation, which is, hey, you can mislead these owners into thinking one thing, and you can actually help your team.
Well, to be fair, the owners
these
might
teams will help themselves.
Yeah, owners might think the same thing. I mean, if I'm the
sure.
John Mara with the Giants knows football.
Maybe
he sees it. He might not like it. He could vote against it.
It's maybe. Interesting you mention him because apparently he ducked reporters this morning.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah,
well, he's got a lot to not want to have to go on the record.
It was
about.
Just funny. They're just posting that all over.
Yeah, my guess
now.
Is that's not the tush push. That's the coach, the GM,
Saquon,
yep. Russell Wilson.
Oh, God.
All that stuff. Anyway, Zach, I would zap the tush push, but I don't like the rationale for those that are, because at least someone like me, I'm just telling you what I truly think is wrong with it, not the nonsense some of these people are spewing.
I mean, respectfully, you're spewing a lot of nonsense yourself. I mean, it's a rugby play. When did we get so snobby in the NFL that, oh, it's a rugby play? That's just such a crap take. I'm just so pissed off at the
Do all running plays look like rugby plays?
Like, why does this play look more like a
You know this sport rugby? Is based on rugby, right? Yeah, you know rugby was there first.
I do know that.
And
it's something about that scrum and how it kind of moves forward and gets halted and then moves forward again and gets halted and then moves forward
this is
again.
Speaking from ignorance here, you don't even know what you're saying.
Sure, I do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So take us through rugby. Take us, how does a rugby game happen?
It's a
how
little
does
bit,
it all
it's
get
a little bit
out?
Like a tug of war at times. It's like, which way is it going to go? I don't need to see a freaking tug of war in football, Zach. And that's what, to me, the line of scrimmage looks like. And they don't blow the whistle fast enough. And then you get Goddard pushing. Look, as an Eagles fan, obviously I love that he's effective at it. But I don't think it's fair to defenses. I don't. All right, Zach, give me an answer. Who or what is foolish on this April Fool's Day?
Well, congratulations, John Ritchie. You are officially a rugby player. as for a fool, I've been very fortunate. I won Clapton tickets a few weeks back. I'm going to go with something real weird.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with the royal fool, the jester.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. They used to call him the fool.
What did he talk about?
The jester, like in a court, like, you know, like the court jester.
Clean your ears out.
They would call him a fool. That's a good answer.
It is a good answer. Well, it's like the guy in the Game of Thrones. What was that, season 2? With Joffrey with the guy, and he makes him drink all the wine. Mm-hmm. That's a tough scene, man.
Anything with Joffrey's tough.
All right, so,
hated him.
Hated him a lot. All right,
easily hateable.
Horrible. A lot of people think Sean McDermott is foolish for the way he has been rolling out
Joffrey-esque. Thought you were going to go hateable there. Yeah.
He's not hateable. He's not hateable.
It's Joffrey-esque the way he's coming. No, seriously, talking out of both sides of his mouth with this tush-push
But
thing.
He's not as evil as Joffrey.
No, he's a hypocrite. Not. For sure.
Well, his utilization of the tush push and now being against it is bizarre.
I am being kind
because I met his dad one time. I thought he was a really nice man.
I ran into him at a gas station once at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I was going. We were in Bala. I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm going to work." I go, "It's 3 o'clock. I have to be in at this time."
Yeah. When he was an Eagles assistant.
Yeah. Couldn't have been nicer. But he's being a hypocrite.
All right, let's listen to Sean McDermott yesterday. Elliot got big props. For kind of holding down Sean McDermott. He's kind of holding his feet to the fire a little bit. Here is our own Elliot Shure Parks with Buffalo Bills coach Sean McDermott on the tush push yesterday.
My position hasn't really changed at all. I feel where I'm most concerned is, even though there's not significant data out there to this point, my biggest concern is the health and safety of the players, first and foremost.
What are you seeing with the health and safety of the players? Since, as you said, there is really no data to say there's injuries. Like, what are you seeing?
I think anytime you get in, it's two things. It's force, added force, number one, and then the posture of the players, being asked to execute that type of play, that's where my concern comes in.
Do you think you'll continue to run the play if it remains and you have concerns about the safety? Do you think you'll continue to run it? Because I think you ran it quite a bit last year.
A form of it. So I think that's it's a loose term, really, in terms of what defines a tush push. So there's different forms of it out there. I know we are one of the teams that people identify that run it. That's fair. There's other teams as well. So I just look. We're gonna always act in a way that's best for the health and safety of the players, and I think that's the responsible way to go.
A form of it.
Loser! And answering I've ever heard.
Joe, you're on that guy's side.
It's insane.
You and Sean McDermott are on one side, we're on the other. Just internalize that.
I mean, who listens to that and says this guy's not crazy?
Well, I will say,
you know, the added force is wrong. He's saying added force takes place. I think that's wrong. I think that the impact that you're talking about, the impact that miraculously leads to things like, holy cow, my arm is messed up. Holy cow, my shoulder, my neck. That's when you got guys running at each other and taking shots. It's not when you're lined up 2 inches from your target. That's different. This really is just pushing. And it, yeah, maybe the pile up, like you could say, hey, that will be tough to extract guys from, but that's not going to injure anybody.
It's multiple people getting forced. It's multiple people taking the force. And so I agree with you that when you start talking about like the physics of it, I mean, you're talking about when guys are running 30 miles an hour and they're getting popped.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bigger chance of that person.
Very
different. Yeah.
This is not dangerous like that.
I'll give you good news for those that want it capped, and obviously most people want the tush push capped. Here's what I think is good news. I think what is being publicly stated are horrible justifications for getting rid of it. And it almost reminds me. Remember, John, when we had that the trial a few years ago about my hits in baseball, and, you know, like Mickey Morandini and John Brazier did a bad job presenting their case. Maybe they had a winning case, but they were bad lawyers. Seltzer, these guys are bad
lawyers.
That
was when you won the trial.
I'm well aware. Mickey probably hates it. If he's listening right now, he's like, that damn DeCamera dragging me back in. But seriously, the McDermotts of the world.
Convince these owners right now that this is what's best.
Yeah, but I don't think they're
not that big a stretch.
But I don't think their case is actually convincing.
I don't think it is either.
It's not.
But it doesn't matter so much. The owners are easy targets.
Can I give you the best
case? Convincing.
Can I give you the best case, Ruben? I'm going to give you the best case. I'm going to tell me if this moves you, Ruben. The best case, in my opinion, for what should be said to get rid of the tush push for those that want it out. The people in that room should say, imagine next year when 25 teams have their tight end take the snap and lean forward for a first down with these big 300-pound guys pushing behind them to push that guy forward. Like, that would be bad for pro football, and that could happen. That's the best case for why it should be gotten rid of, because now you're bastardizing offensive football.
Well, why is that a bad thing?
I don't think the NFL or the networks want the ball snapped to.
I think it would be interesting. I think it would actually
pick a tight end.
I think it would quickly fail after doing it two or three times.
If you snap it,
it's going to fumble the snap.
I don't agree.
Good at running with the football like a running back. It's a crazy play to even think would work. But if you want to try it,
yeah.
I'll
give you
an idea.
How fun was it to have the fridge?
Huh?
How fun was it to have
that? Of course, that was fun. But that was also one team, and it was also, you know, a couple of times.
That wasn't
Here's what I'm talking about.
But they didn't have to stop doing it.
No, they didn't.
Other teams could have done it.
What if the San Francisco 49ers have a 4th-and-1 and they say, we're sending in George Kittle and we're going to have 2 300-pound defensive linemen push him? You're probably getting that first down. You're probably getting it. Now, does the NFL really want the ball snapped to George Kittle?
I don't know that you're probably getting that first down.
I don't care if
you snap the ball directly to George Kittle. I would like a direct snap to George Kittle.
I don't.
That's some creativity.
I don't.
And if it works, which it may, that would be a highlight type of play.
Well, the reason I bring up that type of example, at the very end of the year, there were a couple of teams that started using their tight end with direct snaps. And, you know, I don't think that's good for football. I don't. And because it's not what I'd call a trick play where things can be so different, it's kind of fun. And like, if this happens 3 or 4 times a game and let's give the ball to the tight end, I think that's garbage. Anyway, that to me is the best argument.
Defenses will neutralize it if it's garbage.
I don't think they'll stop it.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
So do you think every team is just going to have a tight end direct snapping and running up and down the field roughshod because no one's going to be able to stop
that? I'll say this, Sean.
I think I could stop that. I mean, like,
I don't.
They run it one time. Okay. I think you can figure out a way to.
Guys, it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time till the Eagles
stop the run.
It's only a matter of time till the Eagles have Dallas Goedert and Jordan Davis as the pushers.
Dallas Goedert won't be here. So.
Well, you know what I mean. And I do want to get to some of what Howie said yesterday about Goddard and CJGJ. Some interesting stuff there. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. You can weigh in on what McDermott said. I don't think his justification is good. I think it was very lame. Very lame. All right, phone calls on all this. Let's get to Gary in Whitehall, including the Phils. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today?
Doing great, Gary.
Yeah, hey, Joe.
Hey, Gary.
Your 4 reasons that you don't like the push-push, guess what? I don't care.
Nice, Gary. Well done.
That always works well in the owners' meetings. Hey, owner number 4, I don't care of your opinion. No, I got you, Gary.
It's not a show. Prove me that it's a rugby play. It's not a rugby play. It is a football play. I don't care. Oh, there's no skill. Yes, there is skill involved. You're still having a center snap the ball to the quarterback who has to gain whether it's a half a yard or a yard. If the defense isn't good enough
Well, I mean, listen, most people agree with you, Gary. I mean, at least most people locally. That's obvious. I'd be interested if there was a national poll, which I have not seen, on the tush push of fans, not owners, not coaches, American sports fans. I don't know where they stand. I tend to think most are against it, but I don't know. Haven't seen that poll. Someone should do that poll. All right, Gary, what do you got on the Phillies, buddy?
Hey, I wanted to ask Ruben, what's going on with why can't we get anything off these opposing starting pitching?
Because they pitched pretty well against them, and they haven't been able to make the adjustments. I think Marquez was outstanding yesterday. I sat behind home plate with my man Taco, and this guy was dealing. I mean, he had really, really good stuff. And in the first game, when they faced Mackenzie Gore, I mean, he was filthy. And it was the shadows had a lot to do with it.
Shadows were real.
But they need to get better against the – there's no question. They need to get better. But they figured out ways to win baseball games, and that's the most important part.
Yeah.
W's.
I mean, I get it, because in the beginning, it's always the pitchers always have the upper hand because they had the head start. It's a lot easier for them to get ramped up compared to the hitters, correct?
Typically, but at this point, I think guys are pretty much ready. Everybody's sort of ready across the board right now.
All right, Gary, give me an answer, my man. On April Fool's Day here, who or what is foolish?
I'm going to stick with the answer I thought about. Major League Baseball.
Four?
Start the season in the Northeast region before April 15th.
Yeah, I disagree.
I have a comment about that.
Go ahead,
the reason,
Ruben.
The reason why they do it, it just makes it unfair for the way it's set up. It's unfair for some of the teams who want to be able to have a lot of their home games at home in, you know, during the course of the spring and, yeah, and summer. You sort of have to, you got to give them some love. It's a scheduling issue that it's very, very difficult for MLB to put it together. And I get it. I understand it. Except you got to have some fairness, because you want to have team wants to have the bulk of their games, home games, in summertime. And if you set it up a certain way, they just don't get a chance to do that.
Well, there's that. Let me cut to the chase real simple. Here's why I don't think teams in the Northeast shouldn't have a home game till April 15th. Do I want the Phillies on the road for the first 2.5 weeks of the season?
No.
So
that's not fair either. Yeah.
That's the end of that possibility. Of course not. Look, we all know the schedule got stretched out about an extra week a few years ago, giving the guys a little bit extra time off during the season, but they started a few days later, they ended a few days later, and yes, it stinks when things are cold, but yesterday was a beautiful day. It was beautiful.
Yeah,
it was a beautiful
worked
day.
Out great.
Worked out great. All right, Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question, which of these best describes how you will feel if the tush push gets banned? So this is a hypothetical. If it gets banned, which best describes how you feel? Will feel. A, anger. Angry. It's not fair. B, it should be banned. Like that you applaud the NFL for banning it. It should be banned. Choice C, the birds will be fine anyway. Because we do hear that argument from some. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and weigh in on the phone lines. You know, we're going to know in a couple hours whether the tush push gets banned or not. Elliot's going to join us later in the program, by the way. He's on the scene down there in Florida with these NFL owners meetings, and we'll see what happens. Ruben, can you think of anything in baseball that's ever been comparable where a rule is, it could go one way or the other? And I'm not talking about steroids. Like anything in the vicinity of this?
I don't like the ghost runner in the extra innings.
Yep.
I think that that's...
But at least that's fair for all teams. Like, I mean, where a team specializes in something. Because I can't think of one thing in baseball.
Well, if they let just the Yankees use these torpedo bats, which apparently is not happening because other...
Teams are using them, though. Yeah.
Teams are using them. That would be. I know that's a.
Yeah, but that's not going to. That's not going to happen. No, that's not going to happen either. All right, let's also get to some of what Howie said yesterday. So Howie Roseman met with the assembled media yesterday. Talked about a bunch of issues. We'll kind of roll these through as we move through the program. So John, let's get to what he said on CJ GJ, who obviously was a really good Eagle. I heard Elliot refer to him as average a couple weeks ago. I think that's outrageous. I thought CJ GJ, brought it.
No, not average.
That's what he called him.
He was such a lift. Like his emotional juice.
I agree. And he made plays. He was a playmaker.
Well, think about the fact that we'll talk about it as geez.
All right, so
Howie gives him the props.
Sure does.
This really does. He mattered these teams.
So let's get to Howie's justification for getting rid of CJ GJ. So I'm not going to get through all the stuff where he praises Gardner Johnson, but just know this, he does. For instance, he said Chauncey did a great job for us, which obviously he did. So a lot of praise from Howie yesterday for CJ GJ. But here are some of the notable quotes from Howie on the issue of trading him, which was a surprise, at least for most of us. He said, these are quotes, "I think if you're taking the CJ move in a vacuum, it's kind of not giving the whole perspective of where we're at." He goes on to say, "We've got 8 guys who are making $15 million or more. We have from the 2022 to 2024 drafts, 8 starters from the Super Bowl team. None of those guys have long-term contracts." He goes on to say, "So you have a lot of players coming through that aren't under long-term contracts, plus a lot of guys who are on long-term contracts, and we never want to be in a situation where we have 1 year and we're getting rid of 20 guys." I think he means like 20 good guys, because they typically turn it over, but he means good players. He goes on to say, "A lot of those players that we're talking about are good young players that we're excited about, so we had to make tough decisions here. From our perspective..." And by the way, he then goes on to talk about Sidney Brown without naming him. He goes, "From our perspective, that was one of the few positions we had drafted a young player fairly high, and that player really hasn't had an opportunity to play. He's got to earn it. We don't have many of those spots on our football team." So he's telling you, got a lot of guys under contract, got a lot of other guys we want to get under contract, and by the way, got a kid at that position that we feel has a shot to be a starter. That's his justification. Like it, don't like it, that's your choice. But John, he lays out pretty clearly that he just felt like he was in a tough spot here.
I'm surprised with the reference to that's one of the few positions we had drafted a young player fairly high and really hasn't had an opportunity to play. I thought that was unusual because that really, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's self-evident, but that does put a lot of pressure on, the young safeties.
Well, I think the point is if they hadn't brought Gardner Johnson back, Sidney Brown might have been the starter in 2024. Now he got hurt.
But that's the thing.
But
Sidney Brown, it just feels like he's such a far cry from starter territory in a way because CJ GJ established himself so well.
Yeah.
It just feels, it seems surprising that they think of Sidney Brown in that way because I had almost forgotten about
him that
way.
Yeah, but here's part of the thing. So these guys, these veterans that they were rumored to be interested in at safety, they didn't sign them, which means they didn't go as far as other teams. Now listen, maybe they'll get one of those guys in the next month, but maybe it's Sidney Brown's job. I mean, when you have this many good players, sometimes you just need the guy that makes $1 million instead of $10 million, and that's how you balance your salary cap out.
Well,
it won't shock me if Sidney Brown's a starter. I'm not saying I'm going to love it, but it won't shock me.
Once upon a time, I thought Sidney Brown was exactly what we were looking for in a safety. He would run up.
I don't know about the
fly
coverage,
around.
Coverage.
You're right.
It's more important these days.
The concern was the coverage in the slot at times, the coverage on the outside. Like, can he do that stuff? I liked the hitting, and then I felt like he fell out of favor because the other stuff wasn't developing.
He also got hurt a lot, and Gardner Johnson came back. And by the way, Reed Blankenship, who a year ago, a lot of us thought,
well,
I don't know about this guy as a starter.
Into favor
Reed stock went up.
Yeah,
Reed
absolutely.
Stock went up. So that hurt Sidney Brown also.
Reed is a leader.
Yeah.
Reed has established himself. Meanwhile, other guys have fallen by the wayside.
All right, one more player to highlight here, and then right back to the phones. Dallas Goedert. So here we are on April 1st. There's been no resolution on Goedert. Doesn't have a new deal. We don't know that he's going to be playing on the old deal. They haven't cut him. They haven't traded him. The draft hasn't happened yet. I mean, we don't know where this is going to go. So here's what Howie said yesterday. We all love Dallas Goedert. We all love the guy. He's a tremendous football player. Here's what Howie said on Goddard. Quote, and by the way, all of this is courtesy of Zach Berman, who did a great job. There's no audio of this from Howie yesterday. We should tell you, typically there's audio. This is one of those rare instances where there was not audio. So what we have are transcribed quotes, courtesy of reporters, in this case, Zach Berman. Here's what Zach Berman has Howie Roseman quoted as saying on Dallas Goedert. Quote, there's no update. Obviously, Dallas has been a tremendous player in person for us. We have a tremendous respect for him, and in both those regards, as a player and as a person. The opportunities that we got in free agency with Harrison Bryant and Keelan Granson were just opportunities we felt were good for our football team. And I know certainly Dallas is a unique player, so really that's kind of where we stand. Put another way, he said nothing. James Seltzer, is Dallas Goedert going to be a member of the 2025 Philadelphia Eagles?
I mean, desperately want him to be. I originally thought no for sure, and then I was kind of going back to yes, and now I think I'm kind of swinging back to no.
So
like,
more,
that quote was
yes.
Like, eh, I don't
know.
No, I know. That.
Look, there's obviously a negotiation and to a certain extent a standoff. There's a standoff going on. I don't know which side will blink first. I have no idea. But I know this. They want Dallas Goedert on the team. He wants to be on the team. I mean, unless he feels so disrespected, and I don't know this, but so disrespected that, you know, they probably yearn for him to take a pay cut. That can change the equation at times. But we know Dallas Goedert has loved being an Eagle. We know he's been an outstanding Eagle. We know the Eagles love him. It's a negotiation. I am intrigued by the fact they haven't got rid of him yet. I tend to think that he'll be around, but who knows? Maybe he gets traded on, you know, draft night, day two or day three. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Tush-push, obviously a major point of emphasis is this is the day that we will find out if it stays or goes. Also, your reaction to the Phils yesterday. We'll get to some of the highlights of that victory. They got an exciting win yesterday. Big comeback in the seventh inning. Four runs in that seventh inning. Sosa and Schwarber with the big hits. That was good stuff. Let's go to the phones. And Sanchez gets kind of lost in the shuffle, but he pitched well. You know, it didn't pitch too long, but you know a guy opening starts not typically going to go that long. His pitch count was a little high, and he did give up only one run. So all things considered, a pretty darn good start. To the phones we go, 215-592-9494, Ike in Southwest Philly. What's going on, Ike?
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Hi, Ike. Doing well.
All right, that's good. Yo, so this is my issue, man. I think there's a lot of phony stuff with this tush-push thing. First of all, it ain't that far off from a quarterback sneak. So when you tell me that aesthetically it don't look good, then you can't tell me that a quarterback sneak look good on TV.
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. I think it's unfair to have the pusher, though, Ike. I just don't think the pusher should be allowed.
Listen, there's a lot of things in the NFL that's unfair. But to be, let's be real. Let's be real. Like, the D-backs got a disadvantage against the receivers a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So yep. Let's be honest. So I can use that. The real truth of the matter is, that for 3 years that these defenses haven't found a way to stop it, and they're trying to come up with a way to get rid of it.
You're right.
Because you can't tell me there's no injury reports from it. They sit there and all of a sudden it's because Frankie Louvelle is jumping over. So that's the defense is the ones that's jumping over that maybe caused the injury, not the people who doing the play.
Yeah, I know.
So that's a lot of phony
stuff.
To be fair,
I will say this. What Louvelle did, it's not inconceivable that more defenders will do that next year, knowing that they have an incredibly low probability to stop it normally, and that they will try some what I'll call reckless actions to try to either stop it or intimidate the other team from using it. Because I'll tell you this, if four straight guys jumped over the line, I don't mean four straight plays, but four games in a row, jump over the line and wallop Jalen Hurts before he even gets the snap, the Eagles will think twice about doing it.
Well, then we will have to adjust. But they ain't did it
but
yet.
But those would also be massive penalties, massive fines incurred on whoever that player
maybe.
Is. If Louvu jumps over and hits Jalen prior to the snap, what is that, 25 grand the first time, 50 grand
the
second
time? Well, I'm not saying
the
same player four straight times. I just mean four different games. Like, teams could say, we're trying to – like, remember when LeVar jumped over at Penn State, jumped over the – like, teams could try to time it.
Mm-hmm.
And it could get dangerous from that standpoint.
And John,
well, they could do that against a regular quarterback sneak. They could do that against a regular run play.
But
they
But I don't think they're going to be as likely to. I don't think. We'll see. Go ahead, Ike.
And also, if they did that, trust me, it's going to be a trend. And you know, the NFL, they're going to sit there and say something about that. So if you're saying four games in a row, then they'll have to start to look at that. And don't forget, you know what else they tried to do to, to disrupt it too? When they tried to call our snap count out and the refs didn't call it. So let's be honest, it's every team looking for an advantage. And the Eagles are doing it within the rules. So I don't want to hear that, man. I told you, it's totally phony. All the arguments, I don't care how it looks, it's phony. Because I'm be honest with you, I'd rather my team had a ball because that looked aesthetically good to me more than a punt.
I know.
I don't like a punt. I'd rather have my team had a ball than a punt.
Yeah.
So that's dead, all that. And I got my fool, or whatever you call it, man. Yep. I'm going old school with this one, man. I'm going with my man Steve Martin and the jerk.
Steve Martin. Sure. All right, absolutely. We got it. We go to a movie right there. You got it, Steve. Oh, you got it. I appreciate the call. James, is the tush push going to go?
I don't think so, but I'm definitely I'm concerned, and I wasn't concerned a few days ago, but all this talk, all the politicking and all that, I'm concerned. I think there's a real chance it goes.
No, I mean, there is. I mean, we're hearing a lot of people say this thing could go, and we're hearing people speak out against it. 215-592-9494. Phil's also got a really good win yesterday. So let's come back to the Phil's for a moment. You know, Ruben, I know that you love Sosa. Let's get to our guy Sosa. So let's start it off because there's no Sosa double to take the lead if there's not a Stott double to at least put someone on base initially. Let's start with how it started in the seventh inning after two guys were out. So you're down to seven outs to go in the game. You haven't scored a run yet. It's the bottom of the seventh. There's two outs. You're down 1-0. And Stott came through with the first hit.
1-1. And he swings and pulls this one down the right field line. And that ball is going to fall in for a base hit. Stott coming around second, hustling all the way. He'll be in there with a double.
All right, so and you can even hear from Fransky's voice. He's not that enthused. Like, yeah, you know, no one's really expecting this to turn into the inning. But, all right, Stott starts it off. Then Trent Turner.
There's been nothing to cheer for. It's zero, 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 zero.
So the first really exciting moment, other than Saquon and Brandon Graham with the Lombardi Trophy, was here comes Trey Turner as a pinch hitter. So, first off, you know he's close to coming back because Ruben, I mean, Rob Thompson wouldn't put him in the game if he couldn't maybe play tomorrow. Clearly. If he wouldn't be pinch hitting if he couldn't move much, the whole deal.
Right. The other piece of this is that, you know, Stott faced, what, the left-hander, and it was a left-hander he got the double off of. And that's big.
That is big.
But he did not give that opportunity to Marsh, who was the next hitter.
Yes, that's right. So I liked it. Rob Thompson's pedal to the metal. I'm using Trey. The crowd rises. There's a big standing O right there for Trey. We get to see him for the first time this year.
That was great by the fans.
It was a nice moment.
That was a great moment. It was
Trey run faster yesterday than you've seen him?
I mean, he was moving.
He looked so into that.
Well, he's really fast.
Yeah, he's fast.
It was awesome,
though. He's one of the fastest guys in the game. And no, I obviously
healthy,
him running the way he ran makes you feel pretty comfortable.
Yeah, that was good.
His back is.
Also helps me think he could be starting tomorrow when the Phillies play their next game.
He will absolutely be starting unless something happened where he tweaked himself again. I gotta believe he's gonna be playing shortstop.
All right, so Trey gets up there. He's in an 0-2 count, and then the opposing pitcher four straight balls, which is horrible pitching by that dude. Horrible. So Trey lays off all of them. He gets on first and second, two outs. Sosa against a righty. I was thinking maybe, you know, the pinch hitter, maybe a lefty stick. Sosa gets the at-bat, and he comes through.
Swing and a drive right center field. That's going to be down for a base hit. It'll tie the game. Turner flying into third base. Ball picked up on the track. The relay home will be cut off. Turner scores standing up. It's a double for Edmundo Sosa. And the Phillies lead it 2-1.
I mean, that was big. That was big. And then, you know, because the other team had made a pitching change, now you've got a righty against Schwarber. He takes a massive hack on his first one, fouls it off. Massive hack. And then Schwarber really connected.
Here's the pitch. Schwarber swings, drives it high and deep, center field. Doyle back, track, wall, it's gone! Off the ivy of the batter's eye. Kyle Schwarber with his third home run of the season.
It's 4-1 Phillies.
So that was basically the game, that inning. It was exciting. To John's point, Trey Turner was flying around the bases. I mean, there was no even almost close to play at the plate.
Oh, my God.
He goes first to home.
First to home.
Unchallenged.
In a blink.
Unchallenged. So the Phillies up 4-1. The next inning, by the way, they tack on two more. We'll put these two homers back-to-back because Kepler and Cassidy went deep.
Swung on, hit deep, down the line and right. If it's fair, it's gone, and it is gone. Max Kepler with his first as a Philly. Swing and a high fly ball center field. Pretty well hit. Doyle drifting back to the track at the wall. He leaps and it's gone. Back to back. Nick Castellanos follows Max Kepler with a home run of his own.
Outstanding job by the Phils. The relievers, they didn't give up anything.
And that was Kepler's third hit of the night.
Yeah, no, he's played well.
He's played really well.
Yes.
Listen, the theme of this for me as I watch the games and try to analyze, a lot of these hits are through the middle of the field. The Trey Turner at bat, for him to have that AB, it's very difficult for everyday players to have pinch hits and pinch hit at bats. It's a different setup. He swings at the first two pitches. He battles. He walks, which he does not do very often. That's a great at bat. I mean, then you know, Schwarber goes deep to center. And, you know, Edmundo Sosa, right center field. They're using the middle of the field. That's good hitting. They're having quality at-bats. People who think that they're not trying to do things, they're wrong. They're actually trying to put together quality at-bats, which they have done. They have not had a lot of success against the starters, but right. They are putting together quality at-bats as a team to put themselves in a position to win baseball games. It's great stuff.
You know, I thought of this, Ruben. When Trey got to first, I thought, because the four pitches, and they were kind of similar. I mean, at least from my vantage point where I was watching, it's sometimes a little hard inside the stadium to see exactly where the pitches go, but they all look kind of similar to me. I thought, last year versus the Mets, if Trey Turner was given four straight pitches out of the strike zone, he for sure would have swung at least one of them, maybe two of them.
He's an aggressive hitter. He's a slasher. He swings the bat. He's always had success swinging the bat, and he's got great eye-hand coordination. But you know, other teams were executing.
Yeah. I don't want to make too much out of a walk by Trey Turner, but I'll say this. It was a good step in the right direction.
It was a really good at bat.
Yeah.
I watched the entire bat intensely, and because I knew that guy was going to try to, the left-hander's going to try to throw changeup after changeup and try to make him fish, and he didn't. And he fouled off some pitches, and he put together a great at-bat to get on base.
All right, let's go to the phone. See your reaction on the Phils out of the gate, 3-1. Now, they haven't faced good teams, but they're doing what they're supposed to do, which is, for the most part, beating these teams. Sanchez yesterday, very solid. Didn't go too long, but very solid. And obviously, the bats came alive as the game went on. 215-592-9494. Give us your feel if you're inside the stadium yesterday. And also that moment when Saquon and Brandon Graham came out, the Lombardi Trophy hoisted by BG. That was a very special moment at the ballpark. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Doug right now. Doug, good morning.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the tush push, and you guys are completely wrong about the fact that it's a rugby play. You guys are aware there's
Richie
no
is so
rugby,
wrong
right?
about that.
Only one of us thinks it's a rugby
John,
play, Doug.
Doug, I've been telling John how wrong he is for years.
I mean, there's no blockers in front of the ball carrier in rugby. It's illegal.
Oh, how about that?
It's the scrum aspect, Doug. That's my objection to the tush push.
The other BS about the injuries, the injuries are caused at a high rate of speed, not at low, big guys pushing big guys.
No, I agree with that. The injury argument's nonsense. It's really disingenuous that it's being presented the way it is.
So the argument that it's a rugby play is BS. The argument that it's dangerous is BS. So the only argument is Joe doesn't like it?
Well, how about this argument, Doug? Until a few years back, you weren't allowed to push the quarterback. Why should you be allowed to push the quarterback? Give me a reason.
You weren't allowed to push any player.
Asking you, why should you be allowed to push the quarterback?
Why not? It's legal.
Well, instead of why not, give me why. Why should you be allowed to push the quarterback? I'm asking.
Because the rules state that you can. What do you mean? There's no opinion.
Okay, let's go back. Let's go back 15, 20 years ago when that rule went in. What would be your rationale for, hey, guys, we've never been allowed to push the quarterback, but let's now start being allowed to push the quarterback. What would be your justification for let's be allowed to push the quarterback? I'm going to ask you again. Go ahead.
I don't have a justification.
Well, that's a bad answer. That's a bad answer.
But what are you talking about? Because it's football and you push each other. What are you talking about? Because you block against someone. You're just pushing everyone.
But for decades, James, you couldn't.
But then you could. What are you talking about?
I'm in, but none of you guys are answering the question. I'm just giving people.
Because you push in football. It's what you do. You push each other. Because guys push on each other in football. It's the sport. It's like a major part of the sport. That's why.
There's some of that. There's some of it.
There's a lot of that, Joe. This is ridiculous.
Well, I mean,
it's what the run game is. You push on people.
Why wasn't Jerome Bettis banned from 1 yard runs? You know, or Christian Okoye, or you know anybody else who was unstoppable?
Yeah.
You know, they should have banned John Ritchie for a goal line run. Like he was unstoppable.
Wow. Well, he was the fullback. I was leading on the
Mike linebacker, and that play was unstoppable when we did that. When I was in Oakland we converted 99% of the time. Maybe 98. I don't know what the number was, but it was way up there. And the one time we didn't convert, it ended up helping us lose the game. It was the tuck rule game.
All right, Doug, give me an answer, my man.
You were cheating.
Who or what? Doug, who or what is foolish?
Because of March Madness, Chris Webber's timeout.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Huge.
And then he was acting like it wasn't his fault and that whole thing.
What a fiasco.
That was bad.
I was there for that. I told you that, right?
You were at the game?
I was in Ann Arbor as a high school senior, Rob Sweat, my roommate at Michigan, who went to CB West. We went up there together on spring break.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that it coincided with that, you know, the Fab Five game.
Wild.
With him doing the timeout, and everyone rushed into the streets. It was mayhem. Absolute mayhem. Rioting in the streets.
He's never really overcome it, which is a shame because he was a great player. But him coming so close to winning in college and coming so close to winning in the pros and not winning it, he kind of has that label. He's got a little bit of the Donovan label.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because he was a great player, but not great enough.
Yep.
Let's go to Kenny right now. Kenny, good morning.
Hey, it is a good morning, and today is the 40-year anniversary of the Villanova upset at Georgetown.
That is correct.
My sophomore year.
That's why we played the audio today. Kenny, that's why we played the audio today. It's a big anniversary.
I appreciate you doing that. It's you know, there's not a lot of us that are proudly admit we're Villanova fans here in Philly for some reason, but I am, and it was a great day. But that's not what I'm calling about, Joe. I'm calling about this tush-push.
Okay.
And that last caller was right. I played rugby for 16 years. In rugby, you bind your arms together and you hold the other team off so that you can advance the ball backwards to your guys who can then run with it. This is totally opposite of rugby, the way they run it. And it drives me crazy when people say it's a rugby play. And it also drives me crazy when people say it's not aesthetically pleasing. What about football is aesthetically pleasing? I mean, this isn't like you're looking at a model walking down a runway. It's big guys hitting big guys. And then to also the last caller, to justify pushing from behind. That came into place. Or say you got a running back who's running down the field. He gets to like the 3-yard line. He gets held up. And now the lineman come in from behind and push him, and he gets over the goal line. That's what the whole intent was.
Well, I actually don't like that. I don't like that being allowed either.
It's football.
I'm just telling you, Joe. It's part of what has led it to be too easy for offenses. I want more defense back in football. I don't think the defense should have to stop the player twice.
Okay, then the defense can push.
The
too.
Ref hasn't blown the whistle.
Defense can push while the offense is pushing.
That's where it looks like rugby, because now it looks like a scrum.
It doesn't look like rugby.
It does.
It's football.
No, it's a scrum.
No, Joe, you never heard the term gang tackling? It's been since dawn of football, gang tackling. It worked for the defense. Now it's gang blocking on the offense. It's football.
Well,
gang blocking.
Make a great point, Ken.
He just buried you.
Yeah, he turned him over. He flipped you.
Now, as far as
I flipped you for real, old usual suspects. Ask your work.
What? You got anything else, Kenny? You got anything? What?
Yeah, something foolish, Joe. I'm sorry. I saw you. Know, Joe, I like you. I respect you. I saw you at the game yesterday, but I couldn't walk up and say hello because I couldn't stop laughing at you in your uniform. As 46-year-old man in full uniform with his name on the back. It's foolish.
Come on, man. All right, man. It's a little cutting deep here, man. Cutting deep. Me. So I got to write this down. Me in uniform.
Harsh assessment.
John, Jenny. You wanted me in the uniform. Foolish. You need me in that uniform.
I do.
You want me in that uniform. You need me in that uniform. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, coming up, more of what Howie said yesterday. Also, Ross Tucker weighing in on the Tush Push. We'll get to that. Your phone calls on all this. Elliot's going to join us later. It might be in the 8 o'clock hour, might be in the 9 o'clock hour. Busy happenings out there at the NFL owners meeting. So Elliot will join us and your phone calls on all of it. Plus your reaction to the Fightin' Phils, 3-1 out of the gate. Joe to Cameron, Jen Ritchie, Ruben in studio with us as well on 94 WIP.
Baseball fans love the long ball. Bombs and dongs galore with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. They're giving you even more reasons to love home runs every Tuesday during Major League Baseball season, because with Dinger Tuesdays, all FanDuel customers get a home run profit boost. That means you bet on moonshots, you take your winnings to new heights, too. So whether it's a big blast or an oppo boppo, FanDuel is your home for betting home runs. Just visit FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, and gear up to go yard all season long, like Danielle did when I was growing up yesteryear. I could not go yard. Danielle did every day. That's FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, to claim your Dinger Tuesday profit boost. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP as well. That's FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, to bet home runs all over the place.